You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Society and its values are constantly evolving, but discrimination or prejudice against individuals with disabilities still exist, even in portrayals of persons with disabilities in the media. Dr. Catalin Brilla is a university lecturer and filmmaker and has been exploring the stereotyping of people with disability in the media. And Dr. Brilla joins us now. Hello.
Hello.
First of all, has the way people with disabilities are portrayed in the media evolved over the past few years?
Yes, it has evolved in the sense that there's much more exposure to people with disabilities in media, in films, TV shows, in adverts. There's much more exposure, but with the exposure, there's also an increase in problematic portrayals. So my work is really trying to raise awareness about disabled people and social stigma in relation to how disability is represented in media. And my particular focus is on blindness, because I think that blind people have experienced some of the most stigmatizing representations in media. And with a particular focus on blindness, I think there's been very little change, unfortunately, in negative stereotypes on blindness.
Do you think the way it's portrayed in the media reflects broader society, or is it broader society feeds off how blindness is portrayed in the media?
Yes, definitely. I think there's a larger discourse that frames media, and media continues to show stereotypes. Those stereotypes feed into society, and that society produces more media. So it's like this kind of circle where media contributes to how society perceives blindness and vice versa. I've been studying a variety of media products, such as documentaries, fiction films, TV shows, and campaign videos. And we can see that those social discourses can be found across a wide range of media products. And that's why these stereotypes are so persistent, because they are so global and so prevalent in media.
So give us an example then, as you would say, of a negative stereotyping then of blindness.
So, for example, whether in fiction or factual film stories, blind characters are very often portrayed in two ways. One, as a superhuman who achieves the seemingly impossible. And we find these in films like Blind Side, in which six blind Tibetan teenagers climb a mountain in the Himalayas, or in the film Victory of Darkness, in which five blind athletes compete in the Ironman triathlon. So in these films, there's an emphasis on the heroic, almost supernatural struggle to overcome blindness and thus gain the social acceptance and respect of a non-blind society. The other, the second stereotype would be the tragic hero stereotype, which focuses on either the progression of losing their eyesight or the social disadvantages attached to blindness. And we see this quite clearly in films like Notes on Blindness, Going Blind, Scent of a Woman. So in these films, characters are shown to be bitter, self-pitying, burdensome, and unable to live a normal life in a non-disabled sense.
And do you think this feeds off into society then?
It doesn't just feed off, it's actually a result of society. So there have been studies showing that these kind of stereotypes, especially these two stereotypes, have been prevalent in art and literature for centuries. So it has influenced media, and media reflects society, but it also shapes society. So this is kind of reversible relationship between media and society. And we see this also in advertising, in literature, in paintings. So, yes, it does shape society as well. It perpetuates society, especially people who don't have primary contacts to blind people. So people who don't know blind people personally, they draw their knowledge from media. If they don't have anyone in the family, for instance, or in their circle of friends who is blind. So hence, they build their knowledge based on media. And this is true for every kind of stereotype. If we don't know particular social groups personally, we rely on stereotypes from media to shape our knowledge and perception about them.
And of course, in the media, especially in dramatisations, a lot of the time you have a sighted actor playing the part of a blind character.
Exactly. And that's obviously a very wide issue. It's a very large debate. And I mean, I'm in two minds about this, to be honest, because on the one hand, I think disabled characters should be played by disabled people. So if you think about the film Shape of Water, for instance, the main character who is deaf should have been played by a deaf actress, but she wasn't. So I think on a moral level, people from a stigmatized social group should be given the rights and opportunity for self-representation. However, on the other hand, acting by default involves impersonating a character. So the director has the right to choose the best possible actor to play the character. And I think it's a bit too easy to blame a particular film for example, not using a generally blind actor, because maybe that option wasn't there. So I think this issue is far bigger. It concerns, for example, the widespread problem of disabled people not having enough access to acting schools, not having enough access to training for actors, and society discouraging disabled people, especially blind people, from taking up acting. So yes, films can be blamed for that as well, but it's a larger discourse that actually prevents access of disabled people to be in the pool of potential actors.
Often you find as well in programs, perhaps news programs, that are featuring disability, you have a disabled anchor man or woman dealing with that. It just seems to still pigeonhole somebody with a disability into disability instead of having them doing mainstream presenting. Is that something you've noticed?
Yes, I have. And I think the whole difference, which, by the way, doesn't relate just to disability, but, for example, also news anchors who wear the Muslim veil or any kind of other attributes of stigmatized groups. I think the main issue here is that, like you're saying, they're pigeonholed to report about particular issues. So, for example, disabled people reporting on disability topics. I think the way forward is to actually have disability or disabled people on a more incidental level. So, for example, you may have a disabled news anchor talking about something completely different to disability. In this way, you wouldn't pigeonhole them. And this is something I'm propagating for films as well, where the stories should not particularly be focused on disability, but by all means, characters can be disabled, but incidentally so. I'm thinking of a good example in The Good Wife, where Michael J. Fox has Parkinson and plays a lawyer, and the story is not really about disability per se, but his disability is incidental.
Well, you've been working on three documentaries, two of which have been completed. What was the aims of the documentary?
So I've made two documentaries. One is called The Terry Fragments, about a blind painter. One is called June's Patchwork, about a blind writer. And both documentaries depict blind people within an everyday context from their own perspective. So I'm trying to break stereotypes of blindness and social stigma through portraying their lives as everyday, ordinary lives. Because many disability scholars have explained it is quite rare to see blind film characters who do housework or shopping or travel. So basically performing ordinary everyday tasks that are common to all people, whether disabled or not. And seeing more of these would counteract stereotypes that promote binary differences, for example, between abled and disabled. So such portrayals, where you focus on the everyday life of disabled people, they would show similarities between abled and disabled people rather than dwelling on differences.
And you're examining really the kind of stereotyping in society and in the media and then comparing it to actual examples. So did you have any preconceptions before you started the documentaries?
Yes, I think I had. And that's why I started this project of trying to pinpoint stereotypes of blindness, because I realized that I had them as well in conditions through media and things I've heard about blindness. So basically, my work has two levels. On the first level, I analyze current media products and identify stereotypes that may lead to social stigma. And then I use that knowledge to make my own films to bypass those stereotypes.
So the first film we'll talk about is about Terry, isn't it?
Yes. So the first film about Terry, The Terry Fragments, it's called. It's about Terry Hopwood Jackson, a painter whose home is packed with paintings and painting materials. He's quite a character. He also writes short stories and poems, plays the guitar, drinks his occasional whiskey after 7 p.m. at night. And it really, the film shows Terry working on different stages of a painting, but this painting process is also interspersed with everyday life events that have no particular relevance to painting. For example, him and his partner solving a crossword puzzle, smoking, attending a literature group meeting, talking about moving to a bigger flat, and so forth. So for me, it was very important to avoid the superhuman stereotype I talked earlier about. So the stereotype that shows a blind artist who, despite all the odds, can paint, i.e. create visual art. And that's why the film is more about Terry's everyday life rather than only his paintings. So in fact, the painting scenes are shown to be part of his everyday. And the film also avoids the visual and narrative emphasis on his disability. So the blindness is there as only one feature of his body amongst many others, and at times it's more obvious, at times it's less obvious. So we have this ordinary everyday that kind of neutralizes the focus on blindness and thus the social stigma. The second documentary is called June's Patchwork, about June Bretherton, a writer, local historian, disability access auditor, and legal consultant. And similar to the film about Terry, this film depicts parts of June's writing process and her inspirations for writing novels, but embedded within many other aspects of her everyday life. So this includes her walking to the local pier to hear the ferry arriving from Holland, spending time in her garden, talking about local history and so forth. So again, the focus is to neither turn her disability into a spectacle, nor to normalize and ignore it, but simply to portray there as an everyday trait of her body that's sometimes more obvious, sometimes less obvious.
So what kind of conclusions then have you come to after completing the documentary? Because you followed these individuals over a long period of time, didn't you?
Yes, I filmed them over about 6 years. And obviously I built quite a strong rapport with them and trust. And also, I myself learned a lot how to deal with the filming of blind people, because the dynamic of a seeing filmmaker filming a blind person is very different to filming a seeing person. So I myself learned a lot about my own preconceptions. And I think the biggest thing I learned is something I would call critical film practice, is that if a filmmaker makes a film about a particular character from a social group, they have to be aware of possible stereotypes. And that's why, for example, when I teach filmmaking to my students, whether documentary or fiction, they all have to evaluate their stories before they make them in terms of stereotypes and social stigma, and do research whether they portray any characters from stigmatized groups.
And of course, that's quite difficult to do because it's so deeply ingrained in us, isn't it? The kind of preconceptions.
It is. And that's why it's called implicit bias. We have a bias which we are not aware of. And many filmmakers who make films about disability or featuring blind characters, they're actually quite well-intended, and they have good reasons to do so, either fundraising or raising awareness. But the problem is that because they put so much emphasis on the disability, it actually backfires when it comes to representing the visual impairment and creating social stigma. So there's always this tension between how much you stereotype and to what purpose, or to what, what's the objective of it.
And I think sometimes it puts pressure on some people who are living with sight loss, because, as you say, blind people are portrayed as extreme sports enthusiasts, or they fly, they do all sorts of things, whereas perhaps getting down to the local supermarket could be as much as a challenge for some people.
Oh, definitely. I think it's very easy to forget that disability stereotypes also contribute to how disabled people perceive themselves and also their self-esteem. So, for example, they may adopt a self-stigmatizing attitude and behavior because of all these media portrayals. And they could feel that they're exactly like all these media representations, which is known as the Pygmalion effect. And also it could make their performance in society more inferior because they see all these images of inferiority. So definitely it has a huge impact on the identity formation of blind people themselves.
And also you have the fact that most blind people have perhaps a degree of sight, a bit of sight, which they perhaps can use to a certain degree. And then they get jumped on by sighted people saying, I thought you couldn't see, I thought you were blind. Therefore, you feel, oh, I'm not blind enough.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because almost all the films I analyzed in terms of blindness do not use different degrees of visual impairment. So it's either completely blind people, and I don't like the word completely, but for the lack of any other word. So either completely blind people or non-blind people. And that's again because it tries to emphasize this difference between blind and seeing, normal versus abnormal, superior versus inferior. And if you have a completely blind character, it fits this binary. So yes, it's true that the whole spectrum of degrees of visual impairment is completely ignored in these kind of media products, unfortunately. So that's why society, who largely draws their knowledge from media, thinks that blindness means completely blind.
What would you hope to achieve then with your documentaries and the work that you've been doing then?
So with my documentaries, first of all, I want to have a tour where I raise awareness. So screening the films and giving a talk around the films, because I think it's quite important to frame the films with a talk about my own film practices. And this should inform other filmmakers, other media producers, to make their filmmaking more critical when it comes to portraying blind people or disability. And also, I want to encourage blind people, for example, in terms of visual arts, to be courageous enough to take on visual art, because as I said, stereotypes have profound effects on identity formation of blind people themselves. So showing, for example, the film with Terry could encourage blind people to take up visual arts or to start writing when they listen to June's film. So I think it has this kind of double purpose, where it's for the blind community, but also for filmmakers to start avoiding stereotypes and question their own filmmaking practices.
Is it a much bigger subject than you anticipated when you set out?
Yes, it is, because I started within the area of documentary only, and then I realized that it's a far wider social discourse that you can find in news, in fiction films, in advertising, in paintings. And as I said earlier, these stereotypes are quite similar across media, and that's why they are stereotypes, because they don't basically change very easily. And you can find them across media, and people are fed with these stereotypes. So yes, it's a very large discourse, and obviously it's not just media, it also relates to disability legislation, to benefit cuts, to the way we behave with people. Studies, for example, have shown that non-disabled people treat disabled people in a more paternalistic way. So we have this kind of feeling of superiority towards them, which leads to the behavior of passive harm, like excluding them, isolating them, avoiding them. So yes, there are quite far-reaching implications.
It's an interesting subject, and it's like going down the rabbit hole with it. How can we actually find out more about your work?
The best thing is to look at my website, www.katalinbrilla.com, where I have all my articles, my books, and links to my films. And so this is like the main portal for my research on disability, but also do research on other stigmatized groups, like, for example, African women and sex workers. So my work is really about social stigma in general.
I wish we had more time to discuss this, but Dr. Katalin Brilla, thank you very much for chatting about your work with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Simon.